This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
The reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 14, verses 15 to 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been travelling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of the chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Amen.
Thank you, John. Well, let's get back to this series, Oh, I Do Like to Be Beside the Seaside. And this slide shows you one of the places that was very familiar to me as a young fella growing up, Blackpool. How many of us have been to Blackpool? Quite a few. Well, RBB went to Lytham and St Anne's every year for BB camp. And the highlight of the trip was going in the trams and so on in to Blackpool to go to the pleasure beach. And occasionally they took us to see a show, Bernie and Winters and all that sort of people, Ken Dodd and so on in the Winter Gardens. It seemed quite a magical place. Got a little bit tatty, I think. But now I suppose with us doing staycations and not vacations, maybe it is being revived a little bit. Certainly dancing on ice with the trip to Backpool Tower Ballroom and so on is a most welcome thing. And many, many people, of course, have been to see the Blackpool Illuminations. My other memory of the seaside is Portrush, obviously. Granny and Granda used to take me for a week to Portrush, and the magic of watching the tattoo at Lansdowne Green and the fireworks have always been with me. So we all love to be beside the seaside, particularly in the summer. And one of the reasons why I never holiday in Portrush or Port Stewart during the summer is you meet half the General Assembly when you do go there. But at other times, it's great. And having moved home to Conleagh, Ballyhome and Crawfordsburn have become a place to walk our dogs, and our golden retriever Meg just loves going into the sea at Ballyhome. She's had a new lease of life at 11 years of age. But today we're looking at a sea that the Israelites didn't want to be beside. Oh, I do like to be beside the seaside, but not in this case. Eventually, Pharaoh had been persuaded, after all those plagues and the passing of the angel of death, to let the Israelites leave Egypt. And then he has a second thought. Who's going to do all the work? We better get them back. And so as Moses is leading them across the desert towards the Red Sea, Pharaoh summons up his chariots and his warriors, and he chases after God's people. They are worried. They are absolutely and utterly distraught with fear. But I want to give you three D's this morning that I hope may help us in our situation as well as they should have helped them in theirs. The first is this: it is the God who directs. And I've used a passage from Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 just to do that. Sorry, I have to turn around because the screen isn't working, so I just want to make sure it's there for you. And Jeremiah 29:11 gives you this wonderful promise from God. I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster, plans to bring about the future you hope for. Now, Jeremiah wasn't alive at this stage, but the God who directs had told Moses that he would be with this people. And Moses had done what God had asked him to do. And eventually God's people were free, but they weren't really free. They were still slaves in their heart. They still had this slave mentality. They still had this view that Pharaoh and his army and the people of Egypt were better than them, had more power than them. And of course, everything in their existence had told them that. They weren't free to do what they wanted. They weren't free to live their lives as their God had said that they should. They had become enslaved, and their minds had been narrowed, and they were frightened people. Right, there was this elation that they were leaving Egypt, but as soon as they had the word and they heard the hooves of the chariots, the horses coming after them, they said, let's go back. Why have you brought us out to this place to die? Why? What was the whole point of it all? So, look, the simplest thing is just to stay as slaves. But that wasn't God's plan for his people. And sometimes you and I get used to being put down and to being regarded as nobody. And I suppose during this past time when many of us were isolated, maybe you felt alone and nobody really cared and you were frightened and afraid. Does this passage from Jeremiah not remind you of the God who has plans for your life and my life? Just as he had amazing plans for the people of Israel as he brought them out of slavery into a new home. God is in control. At times it might seem he isn't. But that should remind us, of course, of all the times in history when it seemed that God was not in control, and yet he was. The Bible is full of times when God's people are frightened and afraid, usually because they have been disobedient and disloyal. And yet he constantly brings them back. I have plans for you. Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for. Who would want to be a slave when there is a possibility of being free? Remember this, there is a God who is in control and who directs. But, and I picked up this little saying somewhere, this is how God's people were feeling. Due to government cutbacks, the light at the end of the tunnel has been extinguished. With their backs to the Red Sea and facing the army of Israel, they thought this is the end. There is no future. There is no hope. The light has been extinguished. And yet all through this time, notice in the reading, there was a pillar of fire. There was the cloud, the presence of God. They couldn't see that, but they could see the army. It's a little bit like how one word of criticism has a much more profound effect upon your heart and your head than 20 words of praise. Can I tell you a little story from my primary school years? Do you remember the old radios, the big wooden box things and so on? And there was a music program that we in primary 4 or primary 5 listened to. And you were supposed to join in at certain points. And I can remember my teacher coming down and tapping me on the shoulder and saying, "Morris, you shouldn't be singing. You're not in tune. Don't sing." Now, I am now 60 years beyond that time. And I still remember that. Don't sing. Now, the funny thing happened in Cook one Sunday that as we were recording the services and so on, they forgot to turn my mic off. And my singing was the only singing that went out on the air that Sunday morning. It was the funniest thing ever. It was awful. It was terrible. But you know something? God doesn't mind if you're a horrible singer, as long as you praise him. But I made sure from that moment on that I was never live on air singing again. Criticism, wondering what's going to happen, all the negatives all come into your head and your heart, and they get a place deep inside sometimes. And when God says, "You're my child," you think, "No, I'm not. How can he love somebody like me? Look, I can't even sing." God's people saw the enemy and not the God who is in control of all things. They thought the light was going out, when really the light was only beginning to dawn. The second thing I want you to think about is the God who divides. As John read to us, you'll see that God moved into the position between the people of Israel and Pharaoh and his army. The cloud and the pillar, the presence of God got in between the two, and there was darkness on one side and there was light on the other. He moved into that space, the gap between the two, and protected his people. Now in Matthew 25, 31 to 32, we read these words. "When the Son of Man comes as king and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." The God was standing there and divided the army of Pharaoh from his people. And of course, this reading from Matthew is words that Jesus spoke about. The fact is that there is a great division between those who are God's people and those who aren't. And eventually, that division will become clear. But if you lived in Israel, and if you weren't anywhere near competent about the difference between sheep and goats, that the idea was that sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between Middle Eastern goats and Middle Eastern sheep. Not easy at all, unless you've got an expert eye. But there is still a difference. And today, I want to tell you that God demands of you and I that we know whose side we're on. His whole reason for bringing God's people out of slavery was to be their God, and that they would love him, serve him, and they would know that they had a future and his plans for them. But there are those who would not understand that and refused to follow. And there will come a time when those who love the Lord will be separated from those who don't. One will escape, as we will see God's people escape, and others will not. And there is little point in sugaring the pill. You're either for Jesus or you're against him. You're either on his side or you're not. And for those of us who remember the time when we were not, we now understand that there is a real difference. Some people have this idea that God is a fluffy sort of grandfather and he'll put up with all your sin because it doesn't really matter. Now, I am a fluffy grandfather. I let my granddaughter jump all over me and bounce up and down on my tummy, which is quite large, and she had great fun doing so. I let her away with things that I never would have let my children away with, and my son Alan looked on in disbelief and thinking, is this my dad allowing all this to happen? Her very whim, when she wanted an ice cream, she got an ice cream with chocolate on the top and sprinkles and the whole works. Indulged her, gave her everything. I haven't seen her for ages. So we bought her a present and we took her out. We took her to soft play, and I, believe it or not, was in the middle of that soft play, going down a slippery dippy thing that went up and down like nobody's business. I was thinking, oh, wish she would, her energy would go, but no, it didn't. But I did it because she's my granddaughter. She's family. She's mine. And God wants the very best for us. But unless we have this faith and trust in Jesus, we are not on his side. He divided the army of Pharaoh from God's people. He was the buffer. He was the one who stood in the gap, dividing the darkness from the light, because there was darkness on Pharaoh's side and confusion, and there was light on the other side. There was Moses, who obeyed as he held out his rod over the mighty sea and the waters parted. And eventually, the people of Israel were to realize that there was a God who loved them and cared for them and who delivered them. The God who delivers. Psalm 18 and verse 2 says this: the Lord is my protector. He is my strong fortress. My God is my protection, and with him I am safe. He protects me like a shield. He defends me and keeps me safe. If nothing sticks in your memory from this morning, may it be that verse from Psalm 18 and verse 2. The God who protects you, your shield, your defender, and who keeps you safe. So as the waves part and the dry land, the seabed is exposed, and God's people go over to the other side. As they walk with this water piled up on either side of them, don't they go, wow, how did God do that? And as every last one of them went to safety on the far shore, and the anger and the venom in Pharaoh and his soldiers not was diminished but was increased, they tumbled into the seabed after them. They were not delivered. They were defeated. None of them escaped. The great division between the sheep and the goats, those who listen to God's word and those who don't. So I hope maybe some of these images will help you to realize that in the midst of a pandemic that we hope, although you wonder with the increase in this Delta variant, you wonder, are we coming to the end of it? Let's hope and pray so. But we never come to the end of God's love. We never come to the end of his mercy and his grace. He never stops loving us. He never stops protecting us. He never stops keeping us safe. And we all know that in spite of pandemic, other things happen in our lives that can bring our lives to an end very quickly. An accident. Walking across the road in a car. You hear about it all the time. Every year, there are so many people killed on our roads, of all ages. Illnesses other than COVID take our lives from us. We're never sure of the next moment. Yet we can be sure of this. We have a God who directs our lives and has a plan for us. Before you were formed in the womb, he knew you and he loved you. We have a God who delivers us and who is with us always. So they didn't really want to be beside the seaside when they were on the Egyptian side of the water. But when God brought them to the other side, they quite enjoyed it. They were quite relieved. They were quite in awe. They believed and they trusted. We who know his love should equally know that he is with us all the time. The God who directs our lives, the God who divides us from the evil that is around, and the God who delivers us and keeps us safe. Let us pray together. Father, we have read and pondered on your mighty salvation, for the way in which you brought your people out of slavery to the threshold of a promised land, how you defeated the enemy, and how they realized that you alone were God. We thank you for that knowledge and that revelation today, to know that you are guiding and directing our lives, and no matter what life may throw at us, you have promised us that we will go to be with you. So we do not need to fear the future, but trust in you alone. Yet, Father, there is a world out there that really needs to know that message too. And Father, we pray that for this world, by and large, that just doesn't understand your word and truth, that you would help us in our individual lives and amongst our family and friends and work groups, that we would live our lives in such a way that the light of Jesus Christ might shine in and through us. Father, we are at the threshold again of a time of celebration of the 12th of July that again divides this community in which we live. And Father, we do pray that there will be understanding and tolerance from all sides. As bonfires are lit, as marches take place, we pray that those who march might be respectful of those who differ, and those who find it difficult may indeed understand the need of others to express their feelings. We, your people, should suppress our own feelings to be about your way and your truth and that alone. Father, we do thank you for this program of vaccination that has meant that many of us have been vaccinated against the COVID virus and the many variants. Yet we still see the rise of cases of COVID in our own province and in our own country. We thank you that so far it has not led to the deaths that it has in the past. Mostly, we believe, through this vaccination, and we thank you for that. But Father, let us not be complacent, and let us move forward with steady assurance and hope. We pray for those who are taking an opportunity during these summer months to take well-earned holidays. And we pray, Father, that you will be with them. Yet we also know that tragedy can happen during holidays as well. So as people swim in the sea and travel from place to place, to places that maybe they are not overly familiar with, that you would keep them safe and well. We long, Father, to know your presence with us each and every day. Father, whisper those words of assurance into our heads and hearts, that we are loved, that we are valued, that we are your children. May they drown out the negatives and the criticism of others. Father, we are your children. We are called by your name. We are loved by you. We are valuable and valued. And maybe when we are alone and the worries of the night seek to overwhelm us, remind us of these words from Psalm 18 and verse 2 again. The Lord is my protector. He is my strong fortress. My God is my protection, and with him I am safe. He protects me like a shield. He defends me and keeps me safe. We hold on to these promises as we bring our worship to a close, and as we leave this building or watch from our homes today, to know, Father, that you will keep us safe in your love and in your care. We bring these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.